The Supreme Court is considering a social media censorship case. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. But before we get into that, the court issued a ruling just ahead of this morning's hearing, and Fox's Jared Halpern reports it's related to the Capitol riot.
Justices are leaving in place New Mexico court rulings that disqualified Coy Griffin from serving on the Otero County Commission. He became the first person disqualified in more than a century under the 14th Amendment's Insurrection Clause after his conviction of entering restricted Capitol grounds on January 6th, 2021.
Now, it was under that same constitutional provision that Colorado, Illinois, and Maine tried to take former President Trump off 2024 primary ballots until the Supreme Court ruled in his favor that states could not do that. In today's case, the justices are considering if the Biden administration went too far, getting social media companies to remove some content deemed misinformation related to COVID and the 2020 election. Two states sued, calling it censorship, Missouri and Louisiana. Its Attorney General Liz Merle tells Fox the government was a bully.
You know, they actually created a whole category called cognitive infrastructure so that they could police our thoughts.
President Biden will talk today with Israel's prime minister. He's been critical of Benjamin Netanyahu lately as the president pushes for a ceasefire in Gaza. But Israel is pressing on, raiding Gaza's largest hospital again overnight, saying Hamas is regrouping there.
We call upon all Hamas terrorists hiding in hospital, surrender immediately. Medical facilities should never be exploited for terror.
Israeli Defense Forces Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari. The search continues in Jacksonville Beach, Florida, for multiple gunmen after shootings last night. One of the injured is a suspected shooter hospitalized and
is a certified gang member.
Jacksonville Beach Police Chief Jean Paul Smith. Three people were hit. A 21-year-old man died at the scene. Investigators haven't said what sparked the violence, though beach crowds are larger than usual due to spring break.
America's listening to Fox News.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T.
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is something called Testofen, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text HIM to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text HIM to 321-321. That's HIM to 321-321.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACYuma.com studios. 560 KBLU.
From the News 11's Information Desk, I'm Karina Basarte.
The city of Somerton had to end the food festival on Saturday early due to the rainstorm. Earlier that day, the city of Somerton hosted the Greater Days Parade, which occurred on Main Street at 8:30 a.m. to honor the city's 106th anniversary. Telemundo's Osvaldo Rivas emceed the event, and the festival featured two live performances, Ballet Flocorico Maya and Banda La 19. Also on Saturday, the 28th annual Relay for Life of Yuma County took place at the Desert Sun Stadium. The event honors survivors in remembering those whose lives were taken by cancer. Catch us on News 11 tonight at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD, and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help heal veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
Do you know about 211 Arizona? It's a free service to connect you with resources anywhere in Arizona. Housing assistance and eviction prevention, transportation and ride services, healthcare benefits, food resources, and even utility bill support. Talk to a live operator in English or Spanish 24 hours a day, every day of the year. Just dial 211 or visit 211arizona.org. Get connected, get answers, and get the help you need. This message is sponsored by 211 Arizona.
Attention all adventure seekers. March is here and so are the slam dunk savings at Bobby Combs RV Centers. Just like a well-executed play on the court, our deals are designed to score big for you. Get off the bench and into the game with our incredible selection of RVs. Whether you're a rookie camper or a seasoned pro, we've got the perfect RV to elevate your travel game. Don't sit on the sidelines. Run into savings at Bobby Combs RV Centers. Visit us today and let's make this March unforgettable. 4710 East 32nd Street in Yuma.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm in the studio today with Sean Garner, my partner. We've got Tom Sparks, the new attorney in our office, and we've got Cody Beeson pushing buttons and turning dials and stuff, trying to make us sound and look as good as possible. That reminds me, if you miss a show of ours, you can find them on our website. They are archived, or wherever you get your podcasts. So you can go to your podcast app, and you can look up Life, Death, and the Law, and we will appear there, and you can subscribe to that so you don't miss an episode. Sean, we were talking earlier before we got started here in the studio about something that happened last week. Well, some chatter that happened last week over in Georgia in the Fannie Willis case against Donald Trump and all sorts of other co-conspirators in the RICO cases that they're trying to bring in Georgia. If you're not aware of the cases that are being brought against, like, President Trump, there's Giuliani, there's a lot of Trump staff that have been charged in Georgia in a local state court on racketeering charges, which have never heretofore been used in this manner before. Yeah. Racketeering, for the layperson, is what they came up with. The federal government came up with this idea of racketeering, kind of like made up to get Al Capone back in the 1930s. And the way that they used it was they couldn't get the mob. They first tried to get them on, like, gun charges and things like that because they were using sawed-off. So that the mob really did it in for a lot of us, gun holders and people that really want to, you know, engage in conspiracy.
I think you're getting sidetracked there, Mr. Hanson.
So lo and behold, these laws are put into effect in most states, these what we call RICO, R-I-C-O, which is an acronym, but the main component of that is racketeering. You're conspiring to do something illegal. And it has to be shown that you had co-conspirators with you, or else there's no conspiracy. So you have to have other people involved in that, and that they're all on board to do this plan. Okay, so these are the charges that are being brought against Donald Trump, that he was co-conspirating with other people to overthrow the 2020 election.
Can I just point out one irony there? What do Democrats accuse most Republicans of? Conspiracy theories, right? They're these crazy conspiracy theorists.
That is a nice observation.
And what's happening here is that Donald Trump is being charged for conspiracy, which is a theory. So anyway, sorry. Thought I'd point that out.
That is hilarious. Ha. Oh. No, that was funny for a lawyer joke. We talked about Georgia. Okay, so this is the case currently going on, and there's a judge in that case. He's young, too. Sean, did you know how young he was? I think he is 34.
He's a handsome guy.
No, I wouldn't say that, but okay. He has no hair.
Scott McAfee? Hey, come on. Baldness is chic.
So he's 34 years old. He's got two little kids.
Charlemagne the God is bald.
And talk about getting sidetracked.
Okay.
And so he's a young judge, but I feel I've been watching hearings. I've been reviewing the case and paying attention to it. And I wouldn't say impressed. I'm okay with what he's doing. He's doing good, you know?
Yeah, I feel that he's even-handed.
He's trying to be, yeah, sure. So what's the issue here? Last week we found out that he's actually going to end to the reelection cycle to be a judge. And because he's contemplating or, let's say, entertaining some motions that have come before him, specifically motions to disqualify Fannie Willis, who is the prosecutor in this case, and her Nathan Wade. If it was found out that they were lovers and that it's probably likely that she appointed him to this case because of their romantic relationship, so that's all coming out. And it's been just, you know, this huge issue. And that's bad because they're using government money to pay for trips and go to Washington, D.C. It's now been found out that before they brought these charges, they went and met with the vice president. So there's a lot of things going on.
Something that's really interesting is the special prosecutor distinction, because Fannie Willis, she is a prosecutor, right? She can bring the case. She can prosecute the case. And that's what's happening with the case in New York with Letitia James, is it?
Yep.
And so she brought the case against Trump. She didn't bring separate prosecutors in. She had a team of prosecutors. But in this case, Fannie Willis hired a special prosecutor. And the job of the special prosecutor is to be removed from the political impact and noise of what's going on, and look specifically at the facts and remain neutral on it. So that's the irony here, is she brings in a special prosecutor who is going to be unbiased because she is an elected official and she's an elected Democrat on the Democratic ticket, and so she needs to bring in somebody that's unbiased. So who does she bring in? She brings in her what would be a nice word for somebody that she's having an affair with?
You call this in the Spanish language a Sancho.
Okay. She brings in her Sancho. And
Sancho.
I don't know how unbiased he could be when, you know, he's getting paid by her to prosecute this case. So that is the real question here. Now, the legal rule in ethics is you have to avoid any appearance of what's called impropriety. So what's impropriety? It's something that looks bad on its face. They're not only looking bad on their face by being lovers, they are actually compromised, right?
Not only that, but they're lying about it.
Yes.
Because what's come out now in evidence is that they, on the stand, under oath, said certain things where they didn't have this relationship, or the time frame was different than what they proposed. And the way that they found that out was because of cell phone records. So they were able to show that he was spending the night at her house.
Yeah.
And all
we didn't start our relationship till 2022. And then they go back to 2021 and 2020, and there's like 1,200 texts between the hours of 12 a.m. and like 2 a.m. And I'm like,
So these motions have been brought before this young judge, this 34-year-old judge, and now he's entertaining. He has to entertain them. And the motions are saying, you know, they have breached their fiduciary duty to this case. Essentially, they're violating ethics and they need to be removed. The hope is that from Trump's team is that you remove this prosecutor, they'll have to appoint another prosecutor to the case or a series of prosecutors, and the hope is that the next prosecutor just decides, you know what, this is a stupid case. I'm going to just get rid of it.
Or they have at least that power. It will prolong it until the election is over, because this case from the very get-go was calendared to derail Trump's reelection campaign. That it was specifically calendared to have the major hearing and trial on Super Tuesday, you know, where all the candidates get most of the support from the states and get their electoral votes, or I'm not sure. Some states have caucuses, some states have primaries, but that was Super Tuesday, and that's when the trial was to begin. So rather than him being out there on the campaign trail, then he would be in trial, and whoever was his political opponent, it was Nikki Haley, that, you know, she's gone by the wayside now, but that was to make sure that his political opponent in the GOP primaries would have a step up, and that's how it was calendared. So now, by derailing their calendaring system, perhaps it goes forward, maybe it doesn't, but either way, it's not going to interfere the way it was intended to.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's set up, as far as timeline is concerned, Trump is set up to be fine when it comes to election. This is going to delay this. They've accomplished at least one goal, and that's delaying the trial even further, and most likely it'll be beyond the November date that the election would transpire. The problem with that, not a problem, I would say, but a challenge is that even though a president has pardoning powers, it's never been shown before that a president can pardon an individual on state-related crimes, which this would be.
Right.
So he has a pretty wide swath of who he can pardon internationally and federally, but he wouldn't be able to necessarily. I don't know. I think it's a legal question that would be brought in. I'm kind of excited about it, to be honest. I hope he, just from a legal standpoint, he gets reelected, and then it'll be fun to see how he pardons himself and if it will be, you know, kind of over broadly used, and if it's going to be, you know, litigate. It's going to be interesting to see how our Constitution handles that through the Supreme Court. So for nothing else, I'd like to see Donald Trump reelected just because of all the legal issues that it will cure or bring up in our constitutional system that's never been seen before, and it'll be good to get those issues fleshed out, if anything. I mean, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, you talk about the persecution that Donald Trump has endured since being unelected, and his reelection path. He has gone through so much litigation, bringing up all these new questions of first impression that we've never seen before. It's from an attorney's standpoint, it's like, oh, this is kind of cool, because we get to see we're seeing how the Constitution is being tested, and it is creating new legal ground and precedent moving forward. So we don't need to worry. Well, I shouldn't say we don't need to worry, but I'm less worried about if this ever comes up again, what will happen, because we have a certainty as to some guideposts that the Supreme Court is going to give to us. And we're seeing that play out, especially with the Jack Smith, is that his name, bringing the documents case federally, the special prosecutor for the federal government.
Yeah.
So the Mar-a-Lago documents that were found, the top secret stuff that Trump had on him. So that's going before the Supreme Court right now, and so we're going to find out. Jack Smith.
Yeah, it is.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jack Smith. So, again, these are legal questions that are being brought to the Supreme Court very quickly, and we're getting an issue. I would just like to see some more protections for a president. And that sounds kind of crazy, but the reality is the way that we've always understood it constitutionally is that the president enjoys immunity from most of this stuff, because they have to be able to operate without fear of a lot of unnecessary prosecution, number one. And number two, they have to make life or death decisions in a lot of cases, whether to send a drone strike or not, to do this. And it's split second, big, big decision making. And I think the founders, this is my personal opinion, of what the constitutionality should be or is. I don't know, you know, I'm a constitutionalist, like a letter of the law constitutionalist, and my belief is that the founders wanted the president to enjoy immunity during their stay in office because they need to be able to operate freely from the fear of possible litigation of an act that they commit within that office. And I think that extends to President Trump's, you know, these charges of insurrection and things like that. To me, that's what the immunity clause is for. But, you know, what do I know? So having said all that, we've got these cases in New York. We've got the federal case for the documents. We've got the Georgia case. We kind of got off track, Sean. We were talking about the young judge and his reelection down in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
What did we find out last week? So before he was uncontested, this was my understanding, in this election, reelection
when
campaign.
When he ran and for his current seat right now, he was unopposed. So he's a Republican. And he ran unopposed, and now he's got a candidate that is looking, vying for a seat, and it is a very left-wing Democrat. And that Democrat wants to gin up some support by saying, hey, he's taking a political position on this, and he's trying to support Trump and get him off charges that he was legitimately charged with. So we need to get him off of his position as a judge. And he has this to contemplate as a judge. So the question here is, should judges and should he have to consider this in determining what is right and wrong in the case? And one part of me says no. You know, that compromises his ability to function as a judge in an unbiased way. Another part of me says, well, we want our judges, just like we want our representatives, to be accountable to us. We don't want them to be so high and mighty and above us that they can do whatever they want with what Adam's talking about, total immunity. And what do you think about that, Thomas? What's your position? Here in Yuma County, you have to run to be appointed or run to become a superior court judge, which is the highest position for trial judge in the state, is superior court judge. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a catch-22. You've got benefits on one side where, like, the Supreme Court, they're supposed to be appointed for life, so they're not beholden to a political sway.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the idea. But then you get somebody who happens to be what we'll call a bad egg, who is affected by political sway, and now you can't get rid of them. The other side is, you know, you could feel the pressures if you're elected every election cycle, and you might give rulings that you otherwise wouldn't to affect your voter base. I see downsides on either side. I think the way that you handle both is you set term limits.
Yeah.
You can appoint with term limits.
And with term limits, I think that there's a couple of factors that you want to look into. Number one, how often you have to run for reelection, as opposed to, you know, federal judges are appointed for life.
Mm-hmm.
So they never have to run again. They never have to get reappointed. And whereas Superior Court judges, it's a 6-year term. Cody, you should know this.
I thought they were four, like normal, but I'm not sure.
It might be a 4-year term. And so each term, they need to look into their constituencies. They need to, you know, gain support and from the community. They have to gather so many signatures, and there's an election that's held each term. And that's one factor of term limits. Another one is, how many terms consecutively can you run? For example, the president, they can only run 2 terms, period, whether they're consecutive or not. So Donald Trump running with this term, even though that there was a 4-year break in between his service as the president, he would be termed out. He could never run for president again. And I don't know. I think that term limits are an excellent thing. I think that we constantly ought to be kept on our toes. I hate the concept of tenure for professors, right, at universities. So I think that'd be a good thing for judges, absolutely. And I do like the idea that judges are elected, but I can see the wisdom in them being appointed too. So I don't know. We'll be split on this issue. Right now, though, we've got to take a break. We'll come back. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
This is Joan, enjoying some me time up on the rim. This is Simon and his friends paddling the Salt River.
And this is Brad. Brad is, well, no one knows where Brad is.
What they all have in common is that they went to azmbdnow.gov to quickly and easily renew their registration or 30 other services. So go to azmbdnow.gov and get more time to enjoy all the things you love.
Sponsored by ADOT in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
I always tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an Army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
Low pressure has been hanging around all weekend long, and it may produce some rain for parts of northern and eastern Arizona today. But we're not going to see any wet weather. We've got sunshine and a slightly warmer afternoon. 77 today, the high. Mid-50s overnight. Back to regular March tomorrow, near 80. And it's warmer for the rest of the week. 84 Wednesday, 87 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Donors choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
Did you know that every year, public school teachers spend nearly $500 of their own money for student supplies? Let's do the math. That comes out to over $1.2 billion a year. And that's just not right. At Donors Choose, we want students and teachers to have the tools they need for a great education. And now, more than ever, they need your help. Here's what you can do. Go to DonorsChoose.org and choose from teachers' requests that support reading, math, science, history, and more. Once a request is funded, we'll take care of shipping everything directly to the teacher. It's that easy. You'll receive thank you letters and photos from students and teachers and a report of how every dollar was spent. Teachers' needs have never been greater. Learn more at DonorsChoose.org. Donors Choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Sean Garner, attorney for Deason, Garner, and Hanson. We do estate planning, and we are no wise qualified to give you political advice, but we do it anyway. I'm sitting in studio here with Adam Hanson, Thomas Sparks, and Cody Beeson. I want to talk about, let's go with something light today. How about racism and affirmative action?
Yeah.
So I've got this clip. It's from a Dr. Phil show. I didn't know he still did. Does he do regular shows still? Because this is on YouTube, so I don't watch TV.
I have no idea.
Does he have a cable show?
Yeah, he's actually like launched a new media like network.
Okay, so and he's totally separated from Oprah.
I think so, and I think a lot
he's of... He's kind of leaning a little bit more, like, conservative, which is actually would have been middle of the road 10 years ago, but conservative today.
I think that's the kind of media he's putting out now, so yeah.
Okay, so anyway, he's got some guests on his show. Candace Owen is one of them. Another is a common contributor to the Daily Wire, which is a conservative program. I forget her name, darn it. It's Amalia Ikpanubi. That is how you pronounce it, yes. And they're going to discuss affirmative action. And there's a couple of white individuals and a couple of black individuals arguing on both sides of the issue. And I think they make some very good points here. So let's play the clip, and then we'll dissect it a little bit.
We've dictated, we care about black students, we care about Hispanic students. These are the minorities who are going to benefit from this, and Asians are not, and Native Americans. But the through line is not necessarily socioeconomic status. It doesn't seem to be resources. It seems to be that these are the minority groups that we feel bad for. We don't feel bad for Asian Americans because they have a culture of high academic standing. They have a culture of drive and of facing adversity. We look at Black students and Hispanic students and Native American students.
We are inferior.
And we pity them.
That's what makes my blood boil. I mean, it's just, I am not less than you because you are white. I don't need you to look at me and feel bad for me because of the color of my skin. And that's effectively what you're doing. Every time you take an application, you say, oh, well, this girl's Black, so I kind of feel bad for her, so I'm going to put her at the top of a line. It's just not necessary. I believe, right, that Black Americans are capable of performing in the same capacity as their white peers. You two don't actually believe that.
Because if you support
affirmative action, you are basically saying that Black Americans cannot do it on their own.
No, what I'm saying is that there's a history of racism and exclusionary practices. And instead, we're reducing it all the way down just to race. And what these admissions practices are actually doing is saying, no, there's a constellation of factors that we're considering in the holistic review of this application.
So we're removing race from the applications.
Is basically making it about race. You're saying these are the Black people, these are the white people, these are the Asian people, these are the Native American people, as you mentioned. But as one of the audience members said, what about people who are of mixed race? You know, I'm of mixed background. What am I supposed to mark on an application? Am I supposed to mark multiple boxes? And plus,
mark
if you
black.
Are painting
Here,
people
can you pause it for
as
say?
An We're oppressor, pause. If you're white.
That's and terrible.
So I want to jump in right there. Her point is well taken, but you could even take it a level deeper. What if you're mixed race? My take on that is, who isn't, right? Who is a pure one race or another, right? You've got some parts of European and whatever else, we'll say Native American and African and...
We're all mutts.
Yeah.
Even Elizabeth Warren.
Well, yeah, that's where I was going with this. So Elizabeth Warren, right, she identified as a Native American. It turns out that she has like 1/1600th of a Native American blood. And so, okay, she's Native American. And so we take that concept and you blend it in with a concept that we can identify as other things other than, say, our biological sex. And therefore, if we can change something as fundamental and as immutable as our sex – then why can't we change something as our identity and who we identify with as far as our national origin or who our ancestries were? There was a girl, gosh, I wish I remember her name. We talked about her on the last show. But she was the head of the chapter up in Washington of the NAACP. And she identified as African American. And she led that chapter.
Was it Debbie Wiseman Schwartz or something like that? Or
yeah.
Is that the one?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah.
She's now an elementary school teacher.
Something, yeah.
So anyway, she identified as African American, and she was running very successfully the NAACP. And that is the National Association for...
The advancement
of colored people. And she's not... actually Black. Her parents came out and outed her and said, she's our daughter and we're white, so she's white too. And her response to that was, well, I never had a DNA test. I don't know that you're my real parent. And then they're like, well, why don't you stop taking those pills that make your skin a little darker and stop crimping your hair every day, and let's watch your natural characteristics come out, and let's go ahead and take a DNA test.
Yeah, allegedly.
And if you... are white, so be it. You know, you can still be very passionate about your cause, and you can still be good at what you do. You're just not actually a Black person. And this gets back to affirmative action. If they're going to give a leg up to individuals that are a certain race or from a certain national origin, what stops us from adopting that race and national origin as our own and getting those perks that come along with it? And when you say it like that, it's like, that's ridiculous. It really is. Like, how stupid are we going to go on this thing? And it's shown out in reality pretty stupid.
I think Candace made a really good point. Anytime that you have race as a factor at all, you're saying that race is I believe that race to be lesser than another race. That's just essentially that is the default that happens when you bring race into it. And the guy, I hadn't heard that rebuttal, Sean, from the gentleman that was on there. And he tried to kind of like make it a little bit more suave, where he said, well, it's a holistic view. race isn't the full thing. We are looking at socioeconomic background. We're looking at race. We're looking at all sorts of factors. It's a holistic view. And she, I don't know if you caught it there at the very end. We cut off the clip right before that. But what she said was, anytime you make race, you're part of that application process, you're saying this race deserves it more than another because they are inherently bad or they're inherently dumber or they can't do it on their own because of the color of their skin. And we cut it off right before that. But it doesn't matter.
At least it's making it a racial issue.
It reminds me of this.
And that is racist.
This saying, I hate to say this over the airs, but over the airwaves, but it's kind of like this idea that I'm going to make some cookies for you, Sean. And as I'm making these cookies, maybe a little bit of dog poop gets into those cookies. It's okay though. You know, I'm gonna bake them. You won't even know. I give you these cookies, and I say, hey, lo and behold, you know, there was an accident. I got a little bit of dog poop in these cookies, but it's not a big deal. It's just a little bit.
You won't even taste it.
You won't even taste it. Would you partake of those dog cookies?
I don't know where you're going with this. Definitely not.
No,
I'm not eating those cookies.
Well, it's the same concept in theory. It's like any bit of race, any idea that race is going to play a part in an application is like putting a little bit of dog poop into that application.
I love it.
Right. Yeah.
Application.
That's true.
It's either all or nothing. Like you cannot say just a little bit.
We can be, yeah. Let's implicate.
See how I brought that together?
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't see where that was going. I was a little nervous.
Wow. Love that.
I didn't see where it was going. That was my Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay, well, speaking of the legend, the myth.
Jerry?
Yeah. I think Seinfeld was one of the greatest sitcoms of all time.
He was one of the greatest.
You, on the other hand, we're working on it.
I'm practicing my Jerry.
So, can we play a clip from Seinfeld in an interview that he had with BuzzFeed? Because he called out on the other issue that has to deal with race and affirmative action, and that's DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, meaning everybody based on the demographic should be equally represented in the workforce, in politics, not in sports. We all agree it's not in sports because sports is different. It should be fully on your merit, but in the workplace and politics for sure. And so we're going to play this clip from Jerry Seinfeld. It's an interview that he had where that was brought up.
I have noticed that most of the guests are mostly white males of 22 episodes.
Yeah, let's
had.
Get into that.
No, but you
take a look over here, Peter. What do you see? A lot of whiteies. What's going on here?
But
this really pisses me off. Really pisses me off. People think it's the census or something. I mean, this has got to represent the actual pie chart of America. Who cares? It's just funny. You know, funny is the world that I live in. You're funny, I'm interested. You're not funny, I'm not interested.
Okay.
And I have no interest in gender or race or anything like that. But everyone else is kind of with their little calculating, is this the exact right mix? You know, I think that's, to me, it's anti-comedy.
Didn't you say that you originally conceived of this?
What do you think about that?
It's spot on. It's with, and it works across the board. It works with athletics. It works with comedy. Cody, you're a comedian.
I dabble.
You
yeah.
are a comedian.
Say something funny.
Oh,
come
mercy.
On, funny
say
man.
It right now. I want to hear something funny. You're a comedian. Just kidding.
I'm not going to get into that.
Something funny.
It reminds me of Finding Nemo. Have you ever seen that Disney movie?
Yeah, you're a clownfish.
You're a clownfish. Say something funny. Say something. Make us laugh. Say something funny. You're a comedian, Cody.
Well, I do know this one joke.
I do know this one joke.
No, but that should be the test. Like, is it legitimately funny? Is that person being real? That's all that really should matter. There shouldn't be these subcategories that we have to qualify for before you're allowed to, you know, move to the next step. Or
well, and that's the thing with comedy, too, is it makes light of heavy issues that we can't talk about or we feel uncomfortable talking about directly on their face. But there is a lot of truth to it. And you've heard that saying, you know, 90% of the joke is actual true.
Yeah.
and it's a way to come across and to communicate, but to take out the heaviness of the conversation. And I think comedians do a great job, and they have done historically a wonderful job in doing that, whether it's Letterman or Jay Leno. But now, recently, comedians have become political commentators that are very thinly veiled, if veiled at all, as just political hacks. You know, you look at Jimmy Kimmel. That guy's not even funny. I don't even think he should fit under the definition for Wikipedia. I think I'm going to flag Wikipedia's post on him as a comedian.
Fake news.
Because he's a newscaster for CNN that tries to throw a joke in once in a while, and they're not funny.
What's interesting is there is a legal carve-out for funniness. So we can show stuff, and we can commentary on it. As long as it's funny, we can say, well, that was parody. So it's not in breach of any copyright issues or slander or anything like that. I'm just making a joke.
Slander in particular, like, you know, I wasn't saying a fact about you. I was making a joke about you, right?
And that's the thing is, like, as a comedian, Cody, you've got complete immunity. So why not use that?
Right? Okay.
You know? So you can use it. You can say anything you want as long as it's funny.
Well, as long as it's true. As long as it's true. Like our newest national park is in Colorado, Aramachi or whatever. It's an old Japanese internment camp.
That's right.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
You sent me the link of it.
Yeah, we're not doing, you know, beautiful parks anymore. We're doing apologies.
Mm-hmm.
So just think of all the national parks we could plant all over the world.
Yeah, look what horrible thing we did here. Hey, kids, come over here. This is where we rounded up all the Japanese people that were productive citizens of the United States during World War II and made them stay in this camp because we were racist. And that was under our Democratic elected president, FDR.
Exactly.
No, I don't think we should celebrate that. I think we should remember it for sure, but I don't know if it's national park status worthy.
That's what I'm saying. You know, and yeah, I'm not going to get into like the deaths, you know, that's a whole nother darker side of the joke. But point being is we're not going to go there.
Right.
Well, I now that you say that, though, I talked about recently last summer we went to Mount Vernon.
Yeah.
In Virginia, and we visited Washington's, you know, beautiful estate there. And they were very cognizant multiple times during our tour to talk about how he was a slave owner. Just want to remind you, he was a slave owner. Slave.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a little too much.
Yeah.
But going to this apology thing, it's like they feel like they have to throw in these apologetic kind of, you know, little quips. It's like, I'm sure he did own slaves. I don't need you to tell me every 5 seconds. Like, are you telling me, is he a good guy or a bad guy? What are you trying to tell me? Because you're telling me.
Yeah.
This whole thing is set up that he's a magnificent person and this wonderful human being, but then he's not. Like, what do you, is either, you know, what's going on here?
I'm sure he beat his dog, too.
Yeah.
So there's that. And who cares that he helped be the founder of the greatest nation in the world and all of humankind and presented equality to the greatest level that it's ever been? You know, the guy smacked his dog a few times. Let's focus on that.
Yeah, and but for him, I mean,
slavery being compared to beating a dog is not the same thing. But we're talking about what was around during that time period and what the social and historical underpinnings were at that time, and we're judging him against what our standards are at this time. It's like we don't want to be judged by the standards of somebody 50 years from now in the future, nor do we want to be judged on how we dress or our work ethic compared to the pioneers of, you know, the 1850s. They were a bit more conservative and worked a little bit longer hours. I don't want to be conservative. I don't want to be judged on those standards, but that seems to be the standard for judging our founding fathers. We got to take a break. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
It doesn't get much better than having a job you love working with people you love.
children.
And when you become a certified child care provider, you can spend your days surrounded by your favorite people. Enjoy a fulfilling career caring for up to 4 children in your home. You'll get to run your own business, support children's development, provide parents with peace of mind, and make a difference in your community. Get certified to become a child care provider at childcare.azccrr.com. Sponsored by the Arizona Department of Economic Security.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
After spending years in foster care, Lexi worried that she and her brother were too old to be adopted. Thankfully, the siblings were adopted, with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I love teenagers. To see how brave Lexi was and how she opened herself up to being in a family, all of a sudden, she's holding my hand and calling me Mom. It was really special.
Every child, no matter their age, deserves to grow up in a safe, permanent home.
Children at every age experience challenges. Teenagers are more complex than young children, but in the best ways.
You're never too old for family. Learn how you can help children still waiting to be adopted from foster care at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Find what you need, including rental equipment at Southwest Lumber. Southwest Lumber has what you're looking for year-round. Looking for rentals? They have a huge variety of equipment, from generators, carpet tools, paint sprayers, pressure washers, and much more. Get half-day rentals and even Saturday rentals. Do you need small hand tools?
We got that!
What about a post hole digger, micro trencher, or sewer auger?
We've got those too!
Call to find out this week's rental department special, 928-782-9867. Southwest Lumber. When it comes to DIY, we do it best.
With all the school supplies your child will need over the years, it can be easy to overlook the most important one of all, money, which is a good reason to open an AZ529 Education Savings Plan. Whether you invest $15 or $150 a month, your money grows tax-free. By the time your little one is ready for college, vocational school, or workforce training, they'll have all the savings they need to get the job of their dreams. Visit AZ529.gov to get started.
This message is sponsored by the Office of the Arizona State Treasurer.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Williams, and I want to share with you the role that diabetes has had in my family. I lost my grandmother at the early age of 64 due to complications with diabetes. She was warm, generous, and a constant encouragement for me to follow my heart. Did you know that African Americans experience chronic kidney disease at a rate that's 25% higher than white Americans? And we're almost 4 times more likely to develop kidney failure. Diabetes and high blood pressure are leading causes of kidney disease, which can result in kidney failure, needing dialysis, or a kidney transplant. The good news is that you have the power to check out how well your kidneys are doing and learn ways to prevent them from failing. So go to your doctor and get yourself checked out. Visit linkbylovetv.org to learn more. Get the facts. Get checked and get healthy.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I had a fun experience this weekend. I guess we could categorize it as fun. I was going up to my daughter's volleyball tournament, and we had to wake up at 4 a.m. to get there. It was an 8 a.m. tournament up there in Queen Creek. And on my way up, I got a flat tire. And on my car, there are run flats. So those are tires that are supposed to be beefed up with, you know, extra rubber lining on the tires that you can drive another 50 miles even when they're flat. And so because they have run flats, they don't stock the car with a spare. And so the problem was, I got a flat tire more than 50 miles away from my destination, and so I drove it the 50 miles, and then it really was gone. And so I had to call a tow truck, and I was riding in the truck with the tow truck driver to get my car towed in. And we were having this conversation, and it turned to politics, of course, naturally, when you're riding in the truck with a tow truck driver. And he was saying something that I've thought was true for a long time. He's like, what is the deal with these politicians? Why can't we just get somebody normal in there, like some common sense? We've got all these ridiculous policies going back and forth, and all of these credits for wealthy people and these benefits for people that don't want to work and don't have any incentive in life to actually be productive citizens. And I'm like, wow, this is going somewhere. You know, I'm having this nice little political discussion here. And so we talked about that a little bit. And I explained to him one of the purchases that I had made the year earlier was for a vehicle that weighed over 6,000 pounds, because under the IRS code, if you purchase a vehicle and you own a business and you use that vehicle for the business, you can write off 100% of the purchase price of the vehicle if it's over 6,000 pounds. But if it's under 6,000 pounds, you can only write off $17,000. So if you want to be, you know, conscientious about what you're driving and get better gas mileage and or just buy a car that fits your needs, then you're only going to get, you know, $17,000 write-off. And what new car these days runs $17,000? Or you could buy this big beefy SUV and you could write the whole thing off. So we got talking about write-offs, and it reminded me of this, one of my favorite Seinfeld clips. So I'm going to play this here. It's the best.
Is this my stereo?
Oh, hey, you got it.
Hey, what happened to my stereo? It's all smashed up.
That's right. Now, it looks like it was broken during shipping, and I insured it for $400.
But you were supposed to get me a refund.
You can't get a refund. Your warranty expired 2 years ago.
So we're going to make the post office pay for my new stereo now?
It's a write-off for them.
How is it a write-off?
They just write it off.
Write it off what?
Jerry, all these big companies, they write off everything.
You don't even know what a write-off is.
Do you?
No, I don't.
But they do. And they're the ones writing it off.
Oh, my gosh.
I wish I had the last 20 seconds of my life back.
But they do.
So I'm talking to this tow truck driver, and I'm like, yeah. So I had to write off this car. And he's looking at me and he's like, yeah, you're one of those.
And why? Yeah, it's a write-off.
It's a write-off.
I'm like, okay, it's just turned. I hope I get to my destination. it was a really good conversation. But we got into other things too. He goes, I don't get this. Why is diesel, because he's driving a diesel truck with his tow truck, why is diesel so much more expensive than regular? And I was like, I don't know, and I don't know about the chemistry of refining gasoline and diesel, but my understanding is diesel is less refined than gasoline, and the more refined it is, the more costly the process. So why would diesel be more expensive? Traditionally, when I was growing up, diesel was always a cheaper fuel, and it made sense. And all of our big rigs run off of diesel, all the things that, you know, need to tow stuff with, or you've got big boats, barges, trains, all of those run off of diesel. And that basically runs America. And then I started thinking about it. Who drives diesel trucks? Democrats? Do a lot of Democrats drive diesel trucks? Do you know any Democrat that drives a diesel truck?
No.
No.
Well.
Right? And we saw during the midterm election that the Biden administration released a lot of our oil reserves to supplement the gas that we had available to reduce the gas prices, right? Supply and demand, the more there is, the less it costs. And so they reduced that. And, of course, now we've got gas prices that are down below the $4 mark. And that seems to be more palatable to, I guess, the general public than the $4.50 a gallon diesel. I don't think that the Democrats and Joe Biden is looking for the diesel truck drivers as his voting base. And that's my conspiracy theory of the day, that diesel is higher because he just doesn't care about the people that drive diesel trucks.
I think it's a lot. I've actually looked into this before because I had the same question. Diesel seems to be the superior fuel.
Oh, yeah.
And not only that, but the EU, they've used diesel as their go-to more than gas over the last 30 years. So why is it that the U.S. was doing this? And so a lot of it had to do with, obviously, environmental issues. They were It's really more efficient. It is more efficient, but it, because of the refinery issue, like it's cheaper to make, it's less refining process, and so they needed to put in some taxes. It's all about taxes and getting money back. So it's if you were to just do a refinery price, it's going to be way cheaper. It's always been that way, but they started the federal government in the United States started adding more taxes to diesel itself to recoup environmental costs, is what they're calling that. So in 2006, it says the U.S. began to phase in ultra-low sulfur diesel. Combustion of high sulfur fuels leads to the production of compounds like sulfur dioxide, which can cause respiratory problems and produce acid rain. Europe began tightening sulfur specifications in the 1990s. The U.S. significantly lowered the sulfur limit in diesel starting in 2006. So it was the EPA getting involved like they always do for environmental purposes.
Yeah.
And saying, I don't know if it's made up or not.
The next election for the head of the EPA, I'm gonna take that in consideration.
Well, you don't elect them. Yeah.
Oh, darn it.
Darn.
Was that a joke?
It was a joke because they run what's going on in our nation, but they're not elected officials.
Nope. So it's all red tape. Government red tape causes the diesel to be more expensive.
Unfortunately, like the conspiracy theory makes the most sense. You know, like the diesel is really the backbone of our transportation.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's the semi-truck. So
how many truck drivers, right? I would love to see the demographic of truck drivers that are Democrats.
And exactly. Look at the truckers in Canada. Primarily conservative movement up there.
Yeah. And so I don't think when Biden's looking at his constituency, he's like, okay, we've got to pander to our constituency. That means lower the gas prices a little bit. Where are we going to shift the costs? Well, let's just shift it to the diesel truck drivers because they're not going to vote for us anyway.
We're out of time. We've got to talk to you next week. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
In tough times, it can be difficult to know where to turn. If you or someone you know is looking for help, the Yuma Community Food Bank is here if you need a hand. We provide food and other resources to families, seniors, and individuals in need. We are open Monday through Friday. All you need to receive a food box is a photo ID with your current address. Visit our website at yumafoodbank.org for more information. The Yuma Community Food Bank also accepts donations in the form of non-perishable food, monetary donations, and volunteer help. You can choose to donate or advocate. You can choose to volunteer or raise awareness. You can choose to help end hunger. Call us anytime, 928-343-1243. Visit our main campus, located at 2404 East 24th Street, or use our food locator map online at yumafoodbank.org.
Did you know if you're an adult living with asthma or COPD, getting sick with pertussis may result in severe complications? Pertussis, or whooping cough, is a serious respiratory illness. Vaccination is the best way to help protect against pertussis. Speak to your healthcare provider to ensure you are up to date on your Tdap vaccination. Learn more at lung.org.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Did you know if you're an adult living with asthma or COPD, getting sick with pertussis may result in severe complications? Pertussis, or whooping cough, is a serious respiratory illness. Vaccination is the best way to help protect against pertussis. Speak to your healthcare provider to ensure you are up to date on your Tdap vaccination. Learn more at lung.org.
When life gets overwhelming, but you just don't feel like talking, help is only a text away. Trained and caring crisis specialists are available by text 24/7 to assist with suicidal thoughts, substance use issues, depression, anxiety, and more. You are never alone. When you need help, please text HOPE to 4HOPE. From anywhere in Arizona, text the word HOPE to 44673. This message is sponsored by Solari Crisis and Human Services.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU Eldorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.